The Truth News Network.
Politics is hard to explain. The truth is hard to find. And spin is everywhere. From the mountain peaks of Zurich to the cathedrals of St. Petersburg, the Truth News Network is spreading reality. And here with your daily dose is Dan Newman.
Thank you, Pete. I am so glad to be with you today. How have things been going? Everything been going your way? Probably not. It very seldom goes your way all the time, does it? Hey, listen, I'm glad you joined us here today. We have an important thing to discuss. Slippery slope target. We're talking about the U.S. Constitution. Think about this with me for a few moments. Why the rush to remove monuments, change names of universities and sports teams, all the while denigrating their historical meanings? Actually, what we are seeing is the fulfillment of Barack Obama's major campaign promise when running for president in 2008. Remember? He wanted to fundamentally change America. Think about it. How could one change a nation fundamentally without altering its history? Now, he didn't say he wanted to alter the course of America or to change the processes in U.S. government. No, he wanted to fundamentally change America. Fundamentally, America was structured to operate as the most unique country on earth. Our forefathers took the best of the political frameworks of European countries and added to it liberty and justice for all. They then memorialized that new type of government in the roadmap of roadmaps, the U.S. Constitution. That document and its contents are the fundamental backbone of the United States of America. Sure, people fight over whether or not the framers intended for it to be used in perpetuity as literally written, or that it to be a living, breathing document, the process of laws that morph in interpretation to fit the inevitable changes in American life as they happen. But the argument today by some is to alter not the interpretations of the intent of the framers, but to actually add, delete, and or change phrasing and wording of the document itself. That seems to be the justification used for the efforts to destroy offending monuments and statues, and the removal of slogans and stone markers from places highly visible to the public that are talking about historical events. Which specific offensive historical reminders should be removed, and which of those should stay? That remains to be seen. Of course, there are many that vigorously object to any removal strictly based on historical purposes. To me, removing, hiding, or changing locations of these pieces of history is not the danger I am writing about. What petrifies me is the slippery slope America is now at the brink of sliding down into an abyss of societal culture never before experienced in our country. So far, the only thing that has prevented that slide is the strict adherence to the U.S. Constitution and the greatest judicial system on earth. However, that too is under attack. So what is the intent of the Constitution? What did the framers envision the Constitution to be? I think the best way to answer that question is to list the items in Article 1, Section 8, that's the powers of Congress, in Article 2, Section 2, powers of the President of the Constitution. On the front page of this story on our website, we've put a link there that goes straight to those two articles. Take a moment and pull those up so that you can refer to them while we're getting together on the rest of this story today. Upon reading these sections of the Constitution, most will be shocked to see just how little power the Constitution gave to the new federal government. The federal government is mainly responsible for dealings with foreign countries such as treaties, commerce, wars, and little else, immigration, coining money, etc. Yet today, constitutional detractors on the left want to tear up the Constitution and simply start over from scratch. We've all heard about the Bill of Rights. Those are the first 10 amendments that are simply called the Bill of Rights. Thomas Jefferson and others involved in creating the Constitution had just after living under a European national government with top-down repressive and sometimes totalitarian operations for generations, chose to move to a new world and establish a country there that worked instead of top-down as a bottom-up governed nation. The first 10 amendments were the most important parts of the Constitution for those who had memories of awakening every day under the governmental oppression in Europe. Those 10 amendments were written to make as easy as possible the understanding by all that the American people were creating a federal government that would operate using only those specific rights as given to that government by the people. No other federal government rights were ever to be used unless and until they were expressly given to the government by the people. An all-powerful central government had destroyed Western Europe. Those American settlers wanted nothing to do with that lifestyle then, and certainly not moving forward for generations to come in the new nation. So, you hear the framers of the Constitution, the authors, the writers, quoted all the time. What did they really think? I'll tell you what, we could spend days and days giving you quotations and talking about conversations that they had, because they had many. But here are some highlights of a few things those framers had to say. On every question of construction, carry ourselves back to the time when the Constitution was adopted. Recollect the spirit manifested in the debates, and instead of trying what meaning may be squeezed out of the text or invented against it, conform to the probable one in which it was passed. That was Thomas Jefferson. The first and governing maxim is the interpretation of a statute to discover the meaning of those who made it. James Wilson, in Of the Study of Law in the United States. The basis of our political system is the right of the people to make and to alter their constitutions of government. But the Constitution, which at any time exists till changed by an explicit and authentic act of the whole people, is sacredly obligatory upon all. If in the opinion of the people, the distribution or modification of the constitutional powers be in any particular wrong, let it be corrected by an amendment in the way which the Constitution designates. But let there be no change by usurpation, for though this in one instance may be the instrument of good, it is the customary weapon by which free governments are destroyed. That, George Washington. Can it be of less consequence that the meaning of a constitution should be fixed and known than a meaning of a law should be so? So said James Madison. The important distinction so well understood in America between a constitution established by the people and unalterable by the government, and a law established by the government and alterable by the government, seems to have been little understood and less observed in any other country. Again, James Madison. Our peculiar security is in possession of a written constitution. Let us not make it a blank paper by construction. If it is, then we have no constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. To take a single step beyond the text would be to take possession of a boundless field of power. Jefferson again. So how does all of this compare? These are our framers of the Constitution, our forefathers. How does that compare to what some contemporaries in politics had to say about the Constitution? Listen to these. Living political constitutions must be Darwinian in structure and in practice. Society is a living organism and must obey the laws of life, not of mechanics. It must develop. All that progressives ask or desire is permission. In an era when development, evolution, is the scientific word to interpret the Constitution according to the Darwinian principle. All they ask is recognition of the fact that a nation is a living thing and not a machine. That's from Woodrow Wilson. The U.S. Constitution has proved itself the most marvelously elastic compilation of rules of government ever written. Franklin Roosevelt. It is the genius of our Constitution that under its shelter of enduring institutions and rooted principles, there is ample room for the rich fertility of American political invention. Lyndon B. Johnson. The words of the Constitution are so unrestricted by their intrinsic meaning or by their history or by tradition or by prior decisions that they leave the individual justice free, if indeed they do not compel him, to gather meaning not from reading the Constitution, but from reading life. That's Felix Frankfurter, former Supreme Court Justice. This understanding, underlying constitutional interpretation since the New Deal, reflects the Constitution's demands for structural flexibility sufficient to adapt substantive laws and institutions to rapidly changing social, economic, and technological conditions. Stephen Breyer, Supreme Court Justice, right now. I cannot accept this invitation to celebrate the bicentennial of the Constitution, for I do not believe that the meaning of the Constitution was forever fixed at the Philadelphia Convention. To the contrary, the government they devised was defective from the start. So said former Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall. It can be lost, and it will be, if the time ever comes when these documents are regarded not as the supreme expression of our profound belief, but merely as curiosities in glass cases. Former President Harry Truman. If we're picking people to draw out of their own conscience and experience a new constitution, we should not look principally for good lawyers. We should look to people who agree with us. When we are in that mode, you must realize we have rendered the Constitution useless. Former Supreme Court Justice Antonin Gregory Scalia. And then there's this. Just talk to me as a father, not what the Constitution says. What do you feel? Joe Biden, former Vice President. We've got some more to bring to you, really thought-provoking things about the Constitution and where it stands in American life today. Very important stuff. Sit tight. Back right after this at Truth News Network.
From Krakow to Grand Island, Milan to Hanoi, this is TNN, the Truth News Network.
Hello?
They're lying to you.
Lying? Who is this?
You think you two are happy?
I'm sorry,
You think you're in a good relationship? You're living a lie. You're being deceived. They're fried.
What?
In oil.
What exactly are we talking about here?
Your nuts.
My nuts?
Your nuts. Your precious snack nuts are fried in oil.
Ugh. No one ever told me they were fried. I thought they were a good choice.
You didn't hear it from me. But Fisher oven-roasted nuts are never fried. They're just nuts. Oven-roasted with sea salt. That's it.
Huh. What a nice man.
Fisher oven-roasted nuts. Never fried. Nothing to hide.
Out for some Lay's and you face a test. Which tasty chip will be the best? Sour cream and onion, smoky barbecue. Cheddar, sour cream, salt and vinegar too. You sample them all cause the crisp is so good on your lips. Yeah. You left your wallet at home. But now you have a new best friend.
The many flavors of Lay's chips. One taste and you're in love.
When fake news threatens the fabric of the nation, you have a choice. Dan Newman, TNN,
the Truth News Network.
You know, we got to be very careful as we have conversations about the Constitution. This is a really big deal, folks. Think about this. All of those quotes above, those from the 1700s, the 1800s, and the 1900s, as well as this century, represent different perspectives and different understandings of the intent of the framers and the actual meaning of the U.S. Constitution. Thankfully, at least so far, they acknowledge, they being all of those people that are weighing in, they acknowledge the significance of our nation actually having that roadmap to American governing that's recognized as the greatest one in the world. But there's one more commonality that runs very obviously through each. Opinion. Yep, each of those who weighed in with thoughts, the old guys from way back in the 1700s, all the way up to Joe Biden, they did so based on opinions, theirs. And who among us is any different than they? Several things about the framers' offerings are very obvious. They recognized that they could not foretell the future, and therefore could not imagine what legalities their great-great-great-great-grandchildren would face, but would still need the Constitution for guidance. They acknowledged that events in the future would dictate the necessity of some flexibility in interpretations demanded by contemporary and unimagined occurrences in American life at the time of the Constitution's creation. They knew there would therefore be demands for actual editing of their original Constitution. To anticipate exactly how to adjudicate these future certainties, they knew was a possibility in the 18th century. They therefore brilliantly included the ability and the process to alter the Constitution. That process is called amending. But because of the importance of the strictest adherence to the blueprint of governing they created, they purposely made the amendment process extremely difficult. Why? Listen closely. They all hated the political process and knew that if allowed, that process would destroy true freedom created by the Constitution. They knew that political partisanship would initiate continuous amending of the Constitution, not to better serve the basis of the laws of the people, but to only satisfy the hunger for political power of the elite at the time. Those guys had lived through that. And they knew it couldn't be allowed because it would devour this brand new nation. So, let's bring it down to a couple of words that are critical in the conversations ongoing in the country today. Is it democracy or is it republic? The cries from partisan political parties for either a democracy or a republic for description of the form of government established in the Constitution have gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth for the life of the United States. The winds of the political party in power at every time have determined which form is desired at the time. Jefferson and company knew this would happen. They made clear how the U.S. government would work, and they guaranteed Americans would live in a representative republic with the establishment of the Electoral College that governs the process of electing the U.S. executive in chief, or the president, and of course the vice president. Also, states are to determine U.S. senators, two from each state. Now, originally in the Constitution, those senators were appointed by every state's governor. But for political purposes, the Constitution was amended and changed that the state senators or the U.S. senators from each state would be elected by each state's electorate. Members that serve in the People's House, however, the U.S. Congress, the House of Representatives, are still elected by voters from each House district in each state. Today, the political left don't accept the structure of the republic. They reject it for instead a democratic government. Why? Well, very few Americans know the truth of what a pure democracy is. In a pure democracy, a country that is a pure democratic government, there are no federal representatives of the people. Each person gets a say-so in everything. When they have an election, every citizen votes on every issue. That sounds reasonable, right? Well, consider this. If the U.S. was a true democracy, every federal election outcome would simply be what those from the states of California, New York, Illinois, Florida, and Texas voted it to be. Every time. Election results would be determined solely by the most heavily populated states and their voters' desires. So, I mean, that's East Coast, West Coast, and if there happens to be a monstrous state full of a lot of people in between, they would decide everything. Flyover Americans would have no say-so at all in their federal government. Without the Electoral College, Hillary Clinton would be president today of the United States instead of Donald Trump. That was the choice of the U.S. popular vote when the Electoral College elected Trump in something of an Electoral College landslide, even though Hillary won the popular vote. The same happened in the Bush 43 presidential years. So what's fair? What is really fair? Well, according to the framers of the Constitution, it's not a democracy. Democracy is not freedom. Listen to this really closely, this next few sentences as we end today. I'll repeat what I just said. Democracy is not freedom. Democracy is this. It's two wolves and a lamb who are together, the three of them, the two wolves and the lamb, voting on what to eat for lunch. Now, who's going to win that election every time? Not the lamb. Freedom comes from the recognition of certain rights which may not be taken, not even by a 99% vote. True democracy is the tyranny of the majority. True democracy is mob rule. Thankfully, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution says this: The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Now, they're not talking about political parties. A Republican Party is compared to a Democrat Party. They're talking about a republic form of government. And living in this republic means that every voice matters. Majorities do not rule, and those with the loudest voices do not automatically win. The will of the people means all the people. Hey, thanks for sharing this political science conversation with me. I learned a lot in the research for this. And we can never learn too much about the U.S. Constitution and how it applies to living in the United States of America, the greatest country on the face of the planet. Thank you for being here today. If you have any questions, feel free. Make a comment on the front page of the story here, the right bottom of the front page of the website, or send me an email, dan@truthnewsnet.org. We're going to get together several more times in the upcoming days, so make sure you stay close. And we'll see you next time we get together at truthnewsnet.org. Until then, have a great day. So long, everybody.
When you can't control what happens, you can control what you know about it. That means the truth. Dan Newman on TNN.
The Truth News Network.